You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Knife Talk Podcast. I am Mariko Malmasi, and as always, I'm here with Mr. Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. We're here to answer your questions, talk knives, give each other a hard time, maybe play a game or two. But first off, we like to kick it off by talking about the week. Jeff, happy belated anniversary. 21 years? Is that right?
Thank you. 21 years married, 27 all day, which is crazy. I started to realize today we got married when we were 27, and we've been together for 27 years. So it's the whole thing's great, and she's fantastic, and we had a real nice time. And look, marriage is a work, so we've been working hard, and it's been a lot of fun, and we're very grateful.
That's half your life, half of your life.
21, it's less, well, 27 is more than half of my life. So 27, 48. So it's, I mean, yeah, we've been together. We always think how weird it is that we've been together more than half our lives, which is something great. But considering all of our parents have been divorced, it's
you're
nice
doing well.
That it's not, sure. Yeah, it's nice that, you know, that's the one thing is like, unfortunately, we're, you know, hopefully you don't learn from your parents' mistakes. My father used to give me marriage advice. He was like, dude, you've been married 4 times. I don't need any advice from you at all. You're like the last person I'll go to for advice. What are you talking about? I'm like,
who gave you that advice?
Ding. Yeah. Well, you know what? He's a source of like good fucking stories. So it's just like, you know, like my misery probably comes from him. So if you know, I'm not happy until you're not happy. And if I bring him up, then it makes me not happy. And it's perfect. So,
well, I mean, that's anniversary you've had this year, this week. You've had a more important anniversary, some might say, which is your podcast, Full Blast, of 2 years without skipping a single week.
I tell you what, you guys were on that episode, and that was so much fun that I just want you to know that I have extra. If you listen to the newest episode of the Full Blast podcast, Craig and Mareko were on, and we didn't talk about knife. I don't think we even said the word knife. Maybe we said knife once or twice. It was so much fun just bullshitting about telling these crazy stories about from the news. It was so much fun. I thought maybe I'm going to hold back stories, so if you wanted in the after shows, we can pepper them in.
Oh, nice.
Every so often. I'll have a list, and we can just like, you know, go back to that time of like talking about why, you know, you're not supposed to call someone bald and stuff like that.
So that show went live today. So early hours this morning, I was doing the edit for that. I don't really do that much. But when I upload it to the podcasting service that we use, it automatically picks the exact middle of the podcast time-wise. And that's what it's going to put an ad. So it's up to me then to change where the ad goes. So it puts it in the exact middle. And if you press play in the exact middle, all you could hear, my wife was sitting next to me, all you could hear was, What was the exact words it was? But you are a cunt. It's something like, and it was just like, my wife was like, what the hell are you listening to? And I was just like, oh, yes. But it was like the exact middle of the show. It was quite funny.
That's fucking funny.
That story was funny because I didn't expect it. I didn't read the whole story, so I didn't think it was going to happen. It just was just funny. So thank you guys for being on it. And you know, in the knife business, I just finished sending out all my May orders. May custom orders are done. We're working on the new Neptune Sunrise butcher knife that we're going to be, the newsletter is going to go out. Hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers that the newsletter, by the time this podcast is out, the newsletter is going to be out. So Tony's working on menus for the newsletter is now turned into like this hodgepodge of dumb quotes, and now we're putting recipes on, and we're actually going to be doing a video with a videographer pretty soon for the hinge cracker. Tony and I are going to do something fun, and we're just trying to make it fun, and it's been a lot of fun.
I'm going to sign up to your newsletter live on air just so I can get those quotes. So bear with me.
The newsletter this week will be from someone that you all know. So that's so just to back it up, Tony finds something that annoys me, and then he thinks it's, I've known him for 20 something years too. He knows that if I'm annoyed, and he'll bring it up just to annoy me, and that's funny for him. And then it's funny for me that it's funny for him. So I said that I hate quotes, and then he started putting these ridiculous quotes in. now the funnest part of the newsletter is to come up with these ridiculous quotes and attribute them to people who did not say that these quotes, because we all know that when you put up quotes, you're you know, especially if it's like, you know, it's supposed to be inspiring or something, you're obnoxious.
Is it from Ben Snur?
So it was no.
Well, I'm on the list, so if Tony pulls his finger out and does it whilst we're recording, maybe we could bring it up on the show.
No, it's not going to. Well, maybe. You never know. So, and that's it. So,
cool.
We're working hard.
Cool. Morocco. What's been going on in Morocco land?
In Morocco land. I got some earrings up on my website, which turned around and sold pretty quick, which is really great. Thank you, everybody, for your support. The earrings came out really great. I'm glad that people have been digging them. And then I went over to work with Mr. Josh Smith over in Montana.
How was that?
It was good. We did some foraging, we did some cooking. A lot of it was kind of getting some content together for the launch of kind of the Montana Knife Company culinary knife line that I helped design. And so, yeah, we were there talking about the knives and doing all that jazz, and it was good. I tell you, I ate fucking good, that's for sure. Because you got to make the culinary knives look good with all the different foods and whatnot. It was awesome.
Now, he has some of the prototypes, or?
Yeah. He has a few of the pieces. There's a few different color schemes that things are going to be coming out in, and they look good. I will say that.
I can only guess, little orange camo.
They cut so nice. Okay. I you know, honestly, when it comes to production stuff, sometimes there's some concerns about how thin you can get things, but these knives were great to work with. So I was happy with them, for sure.
Wow.
Cool.
And what did you eat?
Lots of meat. We made I made a beautiful charcuterie board. It was actually the first time I'd made one and just had all the things on it, you know, four or five different cheeses, crackers and fruits and pickled stuff. And it was awesome. Yeah, it was really good.
Nice.
There you go.
And then
you also did the sharpening. You did the sharpening day last week.
Oh, yeah, I did the sharpening thing.
How did that go?
It went the same as the week before, which is good. I think people are starting to know that I'm there, and it'll only pick up from here. Tomorrow is another sharpening day, and the family's going to be there. And my wife and I have been trying to figure out. We told our kid, like, what are we going to do to keep the kid busy? So our kid is responsible for helping people understand, like, knife care rules and stuff like that and how to safely use the knives now that they're sharp, which should be pretty cute. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think that's going to be fun tomorrow. It's supposed to be gorgeous here tomorrow. Nothing but sun, very little wind, and only about maybe low 70s. Wow. Yeah, it'll be a really nice day in the Pacific Northwest for sure.
Nice.
So you got two more Saturdays.
This is actually the last Saturday until I get back in July to the market again. But this market actually goes through October. And so there are still several engagements for me to be there sharpening, tuning up knives.
Are you going to be there every week?
Not every week. I can't do everyone. Like I said, I'm not going to be there basically at all in June because we're going to be out road tripping down through California and back. And then there's a few dates that we'll miss because of family vacation, or I'm going to be, I'm doing some traveling. I'll probably actually miss most of October, and it won't be, even though the market goes through October, I won't be there because I'm going to be up at Maker Camp, and then we're going to go possibly to New Hampshire for me to do some teaching there, and then Dragon's Breath Forge in Connecticut, as well as to visit some friends that, family friends that we met while we lived there. So
you are Mr. Travel at the moment. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of travel. Yeah, I'm going up to Alaska in July. I'm going to be in Nashville in September.
Whoa.
You got any suggestions, Craig? Anybody I should try to meet while I'm there? Or any musical inspirations that you want me to get?
I mean, Nashville is the Bluebird Cafe is the big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big sort of country music venue. Yeah, I've never been. I'd love to go, actually. Sure. I know it's meant to be an amazing place, but... Yeah. And Alaska. You said Alaska, too. I'd love to go to Alaska, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Very nice.
What are you going to do up in Alaska?
I'm working with Anchorage Brewing, and I'm actually doing a collaboration beer.
So, oh, wow.
So I have my preferences for types of beers I really like, and so we're doing a blend, a beer. One is going to be an aged, what is it, a double-oaked barley wine that's been aged now for I think about 2.5 years, and we're going to do a blend with that and coffee as well from my local roastery here in Olympia, and then I'm going to be helping brew an IPA.
Nice.
So, what, you have names already?
No names yet. Still got a little have a little bit of artwork. I don't think it's ready to go public, but I could share it with you guys. And then,
well, let's work on some names. You have to have some good name suggestions.
Yeah, so one's basically a barley wine like stout blend, and then the other's going to be an IPA. So I have no idea what to call them.
Strong Arm IPA.
Strong Arm.
Strong Arm.
It's got to be after you, right? So like Double M Special or something like that.
M Square.
You have to have something like whatever. Something, you got to have something with a little bit of pop to it. You know, you got to think about that.
Right. Do you know what you're using for the IPA? What hops are you using?
I don't.
Well,
right
here
now.
We are.
Not yet. But as we get closer and as it happens, I will be sure to keep you in the loop. In fact.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are there different types of hops?
Tons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, hops are the flavor. So there's hundreds. Hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots.
So I'll be brewing this weekend, actually, as well, myself. So, I'm keen to know what you're doing. And I could always make a small batch here as well once I know. That'd be cool.
Oh, I see. Okay. Nice.
Yeah,
Mohopsy.
Mohopsy.
Moreco Mohopsy. No, that's terrible. Sorry. I apologize.
So you should.
Craig.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed. I'm like all fucking red in the face, though. This is a terrible joke. Mohopsy is so bad. Craig, you sound like you've had one. What are you up to? How are you doing?
I'm good. We played a show last night, and it was a late one. It was hot. It's been so hot here the last few days. It's sort of 32, 33 degrees, which I think is around about 90 for you guys.
Super hot.
Yes.
I'll run those numbers.
I thought Celsius to Fahrenheit was like 32 or something like that.
Let's have a look.
Because we say 32 is
32
zero.
32 is 89.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand hot Celsius to Fahrenheit.
Hot as balls. So yesterday we played a show. We did just over 2 hours, and honestly, everybody in the whole room was sweating so bad. Everybody's up. It was a proper good show. You know, everybody up dancing and really, really good show. So yeah, really, really pleased with it. But I'm suffering today.
Were your glasses fogged?
I don't wear my glasses when I play. No. So I was sweating and obviously come home and shower and stuff. And I woke up this morning, every part of my body is just aching. I've been dehydrated all day, so just trying to throw water down me. And my throat is just ripped to shreds. So later on in the year, we're playing, you know, two or three days, you know, after another, you know, like three shows in 3 days, that kind of thing. So God knows what my voice will be like then. But yeah, whew, I feel like an old man today, really old man. But it was fun. It was fun. But that this weather we've had, this sort of hot spell, it's been affecting. So I mentioned last week that I'm working on something, a product. Like you guys have your products as well, right, as you know, as well as your knives, and it's dependent on the weather, a certain part of making this product. So it's been a bit tricky. So it's been quite fun actually learning a lot of new stuff. Yeah, it's just been quite an enjoyable week. We've started taking the girls horse riding, and it's been so hot, so you know, cream all over us and hats and all that kind of stuff. We're doing it again. You know, hats, you know, just
sunscreen, zinc, fucking cream. Yeah, sunscreen.
That's right. We're doing it again tomorrow as well. Right? So, not that kind of deal going on. But, you know, just trying to stay out of the sun, trying to stay cool. And it's been good. And when it comes back to the band stuff, we actually had confirmation today. We're doing quite a big show coming up. We're supporting a tribute band, but a Doors tribute band. And they're quite famous here in France, and they, you know, they travel all over Europe. And we're going to be supporting them for at least one gig. We're hoping a few more. So that's going to be fun. You know, we're knowing it'll be a big audience. You know, big for us. So,
oh boy!
So taking off. Here's a question.
Yeah, well,
so when you guys play, and now you guys are like the last act. You guys are like, it seems as though you're not like opening act.
No, I mean, when we play, you know, small things. It's just us, you know, we're the event for the day, you know? Yeah.
When it's all said and done, how jazzed are you? And do you feel like you need to like drink? Is there a drinking afterwards or?
No, because we need to travel a fair bit to each of our venues really. And we all travel separately. And we all live, you know, in different areas. So we all travel. We all got to drive. So we have a few drinks beforehand, you know, because we're there hours before, you know, set up and sound check, all that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I'm completely jazzed afterwards. But last night I come home. It was gone midnight. And my wife heard me come in. So she got up and she said, I was just pale. I looked dead. She said I was just white, as if all the life had just been sucked out of me. It was a real task, like I said, over 2 hours of playing, and you know, because I sing as well as, you know, playing the guitar, and, you know, there's a bit of a sort of stage presence there. You've got to give it some, you know, so it is just draining and mentally draining too. But no, I love it. It's all good fun.
That's great.
I forgot to say I was at Dragons with Forge last weekend teaching a class, and some of our listeners were at the class. Tristan, our buddy Tristan, and his wife were there. They were Caitlin. They were fantastic, and Justin, who's up in Poughkeepsie, he was there. Fantastic. They listened to the podcast. Lots of the podcast people are coming to these classes.
Cool.
Getting a lot of podcast people coming to blacksmithing and knife making classes. So shout out to Tristan and Justin, and you guys were great, and we had a great time.
Good stuff.
And I'm not doing it for a while. So,
when is your next class, and what is it?
I'm going to be at Center for Metal Arts September 3rd and 4th for the Friction Folder class.
Nice.
Oh, and then I'm going to be July, the end of July, I'm going to be with Tomer at Florentine Kitchen.
Oh, yes.
For 4 days.
Nice.
So we're excited about that. And then I'm really going to shut it down until, I mean, yeah, we're so catching up with having stuff ready to ship with David's been great in the shop, and we've just been, AZ has been amazing, and we've been really hauling ass. So I'm trying to I want Christmas to be like stuff's ready to send, so we get so much merch going on right now, it's just insane.
Disappointed I didn't see you on your one wheel modeling your hat, but hey, can't have it all, can I?
Speaking of which, I hate to do this, talk about social media, but I've been hearing all these people bitching and moaning about how Instagram is, the algorithms have changed, and people, for months I've been hearing people bitching, oh, you know, Instagram isn't, and all of a sudden I'm really starting to notice less traffic coming through, and I do believe in this concept that Instagram is trying to push people into reels, and that the reels, because when I do reels on Jeff Fader, I'm getting a ton of traffic, But like on Fader Knives, when I post something that would usually get a lot more views, mm-hmm. I'm getting hardly anything. Sure. And there is, I feel like there is definitely some kind of weird algorithm thing that Instagram's fucking around with people's livelihood.
But they are changing things, aren't they, within the next few weeks. So your reels and stuff will go in your main timeline as well as anything else. And also
you can do that anyway.
Yeah, but also your normal pictures and your normal videos, they'll have that same aspect ratio as a reel. You know, the tall.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So whereas at the moment, you've seen when people are putting, if it's not a reel and they're putting video on, it's normally, you know, a small square. This will be in portrait mode as opposed to landscape mode.
Is that your guy on the inside that's telling you this?
No, they made a big announcement about it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I tell you what annoys me is the fact that Fader Knives, because I'm on as a business on Instagram, I can't use copyrighted music. Like, I can't do any of that. It's all the bullshit
you
music.
Can,
it's all the fucking
you can do it,
faff.
You can do it in reels, though.
No.
You can't. I've done it 100. No. I've totally done that on my reels. You add the music.
I've tried, and they limit the music that I play. I can play. I can't get any Rolling Stones. I can't get any of that shit for some reason. And I didn't understand it for a long time, and then somebody said to me, is this because you're a business and not a public person or an artist or something?
Do you have a business account, or is it a personal account?
Fader Knives is a business account.
I see. Mine is not a business account.
Yeah.
That's the reason. See, you can Jeff switch. Fader, I can fuck switch. Around and hit the...
There's very little benefit to being a business account on Instagram, I don't think, is there?
Well, you get numbers. You get, like, there's, like, insights and shit that I actually like.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't need to fuck around that much, be honest with you, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
There you go.
We'll be back in just a second.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now. We've got lots to get through today. I know Jess worked hard. He's got lots of notes on, you know, the bits we've got, bits and pieces to get through. So what do we think, Jeff? What should we start with?
It's up to you. We got plenty to come in. It's great. The listeners are really engaged. We have tough scenarios. We have a great new game I'm really looking forward to. We have listener feedback. We have unsolicited advice.
Let's do a tough scenario then. Let's mix it up rather than go straight to questions.
This is an anonymous. This is anonymous. If you read this, please keep... So, guys, if you want to reach out to the show, go follow us on Instagram, Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and you can send us questions for the show. You can add knife questions. You can tough dilemmas. You can send us listener feedback. You can send us... unsolicited advice and all that shit. This comes from anonymous. If you read this, please keep it anonymous. A customer purchased a knife from me. I shipped the knife via USPS. USPS tracking stalls out after a few updates, and it's left marked as, quote, in transit, arriving late. The customer files a claim with PayPal and not USPS. I have filed a claim with USPS. What should I do? Eat the loss and refund, wait for USPS claim process, or other. So basically, the guy buys the thing through PayPal. There's a stall with the shipping, and then the customer instead files a claim with PayPal to get his money back.
Yikes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did they even reach back out? I'm sorry. I might have missed that. To the
well,
original shipper?
Well, he wrote to me... Yeah, I said to him, like, that sounds terrible. And he goes, yeah, I'm torn because I definitely understand where the guy's coming from in wanting what he said he paid. But I also feel like I upheld my end of the bargain and the money's gone and went immediately into buying belts so I can finish another knife. So I have a disaster on my hands. So basically, you know, so they bought the knife and then he used, you know, hit that money for whatever he needed to do and then... You know, the postal service lost the thing, and instead of dealing with it through, you know, I've had that too where I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it, and then you track it with, you know, USPS. I mean, if it's just stalled, the fucking knife might show up at this guy's doorstep.
Right. Yeah, that's always the problem, isn't it? That it will. And if that's the case, you just got to hope that the customer will be, you know, do the decent thing. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it from the customer's point of view, they've ordered a knife, paid for a knife, hasn't arrived. You could see why their thought process would go straight to, you know, if they paid via PayPal, you'd just go to PayPal and claim sort of your refund kind of thing.
I feel like that's a thing, though. You would, like, I would hope somebody would call, like, talk to me about that and try to work it out before going straight to PayPal, because, yeah, that issue of the knife showing up after, you know, issuing a refund, that's a big fucking problem.
Yeah, it's happened to me many times.
Oh, Jesus.
Many times. And thankfully, most people are decent. You know, most people are like, oh, right, okay, you know, we'll sort it out. We'll, you know, I'll pay back or whatever it may be. But I think that's the only thing you can do, really, isn't it? You know, you can't sort of dispute it. You can't, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. you can't dispute it on PayPal, because the fact is he hasn't received, you know, what he's paid for. So, you know, there's no dispute there as such with PayPal. The refund should just go through. But if, you know, if it does eventually get to him, you'd think the customer would do the decent thing. But if it doesn't, whole process of trying to get a refund from a shipping company is just the worst thing in the world. It's terrible.
Yeah. It seems like the customer was like trigger happy to just jump right onto PayPal instead of maybe allowing a little bit more time to allow the knife to show up. They're just like, oh, I wasn't here 2 days later. Fuck this guy. I want a refund.
And we also don't know all the information.
Yeah, exactly. That could have been some communications.
The hard part is the important part is PayPal does back, you know, customers. But at the same time, it's like there's not, you know, a lot of these things aren't like there's not a human behind it for arbitration or something like that. So that's the sucky part. I try not to nickel and dime things, and sometimes it's the cost of doing business, and it sucks to say. I know that I've had one knife that I can think of offhand that was lost, and then I made a new one just because I felt, be a good guy and make a new one, and it's the cost of doing business at some point, unfortunately, and guys get that. That is also a scam. That was Mert Tansu went through that.
Oh, geez.
Where he had this scammer who bought the knife, and then the guy said it wasn't the knife he said it was supposed to be. Filed a claim with PayPal, and the PayPal took all their money out of the money out of Mert's account, and then gave the guy the thing back, and it was a total horseshit move. And the guy was that's this dude's MO is to do that. So you got the knife.
Bear with me just a second. I've had a bit of a chocolate disaster here. It's all melted on my computer. You two carry on.
Oh,
I just need to plug this up. Just a second.
Listen, why is this not a surprise?
I've had a chocolate disaster.
This is something that Craig Lockwood has done many times. There was a churro disaster not too long ago. There was a spider disaster. It's always some sort of fucking weird disaster. Are you there, Craig?
Oh, I am. Sorry, my wife's just come into the room. She's helping me out. We've had. I don't know if Easter eggs are a thing over there. Chocolate eggs they have over Easter. But we had. Having kids, everybody buys them. So we've had loads here. We're like, fuck it, we're going to eat them. They're not eating them, so we are. And I had one here next to my laptop, and using Chrome, everything gets really hot on the laptop, and it's fucking melted all over my keyboard.
Oh, you. You are such a lush dude. I'm telling you, it's just like everything is all about comfort with you.
No, he's churros, not a lush. He's luxe.
I mean, it's all like it's luxe. Just like yeah, the churros from a couple of weeks ago, and now your fucking melted chocolate egg from Easter was like a month ago.
At
I don't
least,
know why
yeah,
you had
yeah.
fucking Easter chocolate yeah. still. I mean, they must have given you a crate or something.
Why not? Why? Well, you say that, so that's a bad thing about being comfortable. It's a good thing, surely.
You love being comfortable. Actually, I'm fucking, my neck is stiff. You're going to laugh at me. I'll talk about old. My neck is stiff because I was sitting on this fucking boat last night for the anniversary, and I feel like the hard seat for an hour and a half fucking did something to my neck. I woke up this morning, I'm like, that goddamn boat, my neck hurts because I was sitting on that fucking hard chair. So.
See, you're the one off on boats, so you can't complain to me about having a bit of luxury and a bit of chocolate while I'm doing a podcast. Jesus Christ.
Listen, it was a fucking boat with like 15 old Yentas on board celebrating someone's 60th birthday, and they
What's
were getting ripped. Yeah, that's like a Jewish expression for an old hen, like an old bat.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, you know, hens around or pecks around is you know, like, you know, nosy neighbors, and you know, you got that old bat's all, she's a Yenta. That's a good Yiddish expression. So we had the fucking 60 Yentas getting plowed on Cosmos on the boat and hooting and hollering at the fucking captain. And funny enough, believe it or not, the captain, I was talking to him and he says, "Oh, you're a knife maker. I used to work for Joel for Cut Brooklyn."
Ah.
The captain of the fucking ship on his off seasons would work for Joel at Cut Brooklyn. I was like, what a small world. Yeah. It was really kind of neat.
Wow. Wow.
So
where were we on that? We were saying he's just got to eat it, really, and just hope that the customer will do something decent. Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks, and this is the problem with it all. And it's there's not much you can do except for, I guess, try to find. You know what I would do is I would call USPS and talk to someone. You know, because sometimes I've actually had stuff late and I've gone to the post office, they've given them the tracking number, and somebody will call the distribution center, and then you can actually like get a person on board to help you. You know, that's what I would do. I would try to talk to someone, go into a post office, show them a tracking number, and see if they can call somebody.
This is where your years of plying them with donuts, this is the comeback now, isn't it?
Oh, speaking of which, I've had a weird situation, and this might be a shipping thing now. One of my postal people, who I love, who used to say to me, "I'm so glad you got this shipping platform, and all I have to do is scan," she said to me, "Just to let you know, the post office is having a real hard time with money because of all these shipping apps that you can print shipping labels from home. They're losing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars." And it's going to become an issue for us. Mm. So I said, "Well, what would you like me to do?" And she said, "Well, you can just bring it, you know, you just write your labels and then you just hand them in." I said, "Well, yeah, but you're going to be here for fucking, you know, 2 hours putting them in." And she said, "Well, I don't care." I was just like, "Well, I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours. It was the strangest conversation. I was just like, "You're trying to make more work so you guys don't lose your job."
Yeah.
Oh, it was bizarre. No, It was like... Okay, so we have more dilemmas. We have whatever you want to go.
Let's line up the game. We'll just have this little message, and maybe we can play the game.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
And remember, they've already got some in stock. So if you go to Soul Ceramics, who are our distributor, which is knifetalk.net/heat, it'll take you straight there. They've got stock of a number of models ready to go, ready to be shipped. And you'll also get $75 off and free shipping in the US if you use Soul Ceramics, who are, as I say, they're an official distributor. It's all legit. I'll put the link in the description, knifetalk.net/heat. It'll take you straight there, and it'll automatically apply those discounts for you. Okay, apparently we have a game this week.
Do you have any music for me, Craig?
We do.
All right. All right, everybody. Welcome to That's What They All Say, the new favorite game on Knife Talk. That's What They All Say. This is the game of to see who said what. I will give you both a quote with four potential people who might have said that quote. One of the choices that I give you is correct, but it's up to you to figure out who said what. That's what they all say. You guys ready to play?
Yeah, of course. Sounds good.
So I'm going to do it, and the listeners can play at home. I'm going to give a quote, and I'm going to give you four options, and you're both going to, like, mull it over. I mean, mull it over, and then you figure out who it said it, and then I will read the answer at the end of each question, okay?
Cool.
Make it easy. Okay? This is the first quote for the newest favorite game, That's What They All Say. All right, here it is. I believe it's noble to preserve cultural objects. And it's also my belief that preserving the processes used to make those objects is equally important. Who said it? A, Jerry Fisk. B, Pablo Picasso. C, Neil Kamimura. Or D, Lin Ray. I'll read the quote again. I believe it's noble to preserve cultural objects. It's also my belief that preserving the process used to make those objects is equally important. Who said it? Jerry Fisk, Pablo Picasso, Neil Kamimura, Lin Ray. Mareko, what do you got? And you guys can, like, mull it over. You can think about it. You can talk amongst yourselves.
I'm going D.
I was going to say the same. I think this is a quote directly taken from your podcast.
All right. The answer is Lynn Ray. It was not taken from my podcast. It was taken from an article that he was written, that was written, but that was a good thinking. You both had good thinking. That was definitely Lynn Ray. So 1 point for each of you. All right. You ready for the question number two?
Let's do it.
That's what they all say. This is the quote. I think everybody's weird. We should all celebrate our individuality and not be embarrassed or ashamed of it. Was it said by A, Leah Arapach, B, Prince, C, Jason Knight, or D, Johnny Depp?
Oh, okay.
You want me to read it again?
Yeah, I think you've thrown... No, I think I've got it. I think you've thrown a curveball in here. I think this one could be Prince, maybe.
I think everybody's weird. We should all celebrate our individuality and not be embarrassed or ashamed of it.
I'm going to go with Prince. What do you think, Mareko?
I'm going to say Leah.
Both of you are incorrect. The correct answer is... Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp and his mega pint.
Both wrong. Both. I don't know why you pressed the. That was you're both tied at one. All right. You like this game?
I like it a lot.
All right. Next question from That's What They All Say. Ready?
Yes.
When something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor. Who said this quote? Was it A, Tomer Botner? B, Aaron Goff? C, Elon Musk, or D, Jimmy DiResta? When something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor. Who said this quote?
I'm going to say Elon. C.
I'll go with Aaron Goff.
That's a good one. Good one. Right.
Yeah, he takes on impossible challenges. So I think.
I almost said Aaron. Counts for anything.
The answer is, do you want me to lock you in?
No, lock me in.
Lock us in. Mareko, okay. Maybe waver
in. You want me to lock you in?
Yeah, lock me in. I'll stick with it.
Okay, I'm locking you in.
Is that a sound? He's taking this way too seriously.
I'm locking you in. All right, the answer to when something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor is C, Elon Musk. That's Mareko gets, Mareko is up. 2-1. 2-1. Are you ready for the next one, guys?
Let's do it.
Do we like this game?
Loving it.
Okay, all right. Number four of That's What They All Say.
We need a jingle for this, don't we? That's what they all say.
I'm ready. Listen, I forgot to lock you guys into the last one. I'm going to remember to lock you in for the next. I was trying to think all day. I was like, how do I make a locking noise? If you want to make money, you have to work, right? And if you don't work, you don't make money, therefore your wife hates you and your kids don't talk to you. Was it A, Brian House, B, Gary V, C, Richard Branson, or was it D, Andrew Alexander?
I'm going to say C.
All right, Mareko's got C.
Can you read out the quote again, please? Sorry, if you could do it.
If you want to make money, you have to work, right? And if you don't work, you don't make money. Therefore, your wife hates you, and your kids don't talk to you. A. Brian House, B. Gary V, C. Richard Branson, D. Andrew Alexander.
I'm gonna go Branson.
All right, I'm locking you in.
Lock us in, Jeff.
All right. You're locked in.
The
answer
is, that?
Is.
What is that, by the way?
Combination lock.
I'm locking you in. Fucking locked in, bitch.
Oh, we're adults. Jesus.
The answer is D, Andrew Alexander. He said it on my podcast. Sorry, guys. That's no. You didn't get that one right. Okay. You ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
Do we like this game?
This is the hook, isn't it? Do you like this game? We love it, Jeff.
All right. Here's the question. I would like to be called an inspiration to people, not a role model, because I make mistakes like everybody else.
This is Brian House.
Just like everybody else. I'm just like everybody else. Is it A, Doug Marchida, B, Will Stelter, C, Derek Vermaelden, or D, Britney Spears? I would like to be called an inspiration to people, not a role model, because I make mistakes like everybody else. I'm just like everybody else.
This has got to be a Britney thing, surely.
I feel surely. Like it does, too. I'm going Britney.
Yeah.
All right, we're locking you guys in?
Lock us in, Jeff.
Okay. Okay, I'm locking you in. Mariko Craig. The answer is D, Britney Spears. I was kind of hoping you guys would say Will Stelter, but that's fine. Okay, sixth question. If you're too disciplined, it can mess up your mind. You need to have that treat for yourself.
This is me. This is me.
Was it A, Jimmy DiResta, B, Colin Furs, C, Jason Momoa, or D, Steve Schwarzer? If you're too disciplined, it can mess up your mind. You need to have that treat for yourself. Who was it?
I'm going Colin Furs.
I want to say,
what do you think,
I want to say Steve, but you've already had D as the answer for the last two questions.
No, oh. It's not true. Okay, maybe I'm fooling around with that.
I want to go with Steve.
I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'm not smart enough to do that.
Okay.
So
I'm going to go D, Steve.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Lock us in, Jeff.
Locking you in. All right, locked in. The answer is C, Jason Momoa.
Oh,
Jason Momoa said that. Both wrong. Jason Momoa. All right, we got two more questions, and we're going to tally up the scores.
Okay.
I want to keep growing the team and making as much good content as possible. Many people don't have the hunger that I do. I want to provide value in the marketplace with my passion for creating. Is it A, Josh Smith of the Montana Knife Company? Is it B, Alex Steele? Is it C, that maniac Brian House? Or is it D, Alex Pohl? I want to keep growing and to learn and make as much good content as possible. Many people don't have the hunger that I do. I want to provide value in the marketplace with my passions for creating. Josh Smith, Alex Steele, Brian House, Alex Pohl. What's your answer?
I think, because you said content, I'm going to strike out Alex Pohl. And maybe Josh Smith.
Good thinking.
We're then down to Alec or Brian, and I believe when you were saying it, I could picture Alec saying it. So I'm going to go Alex Steele.
I got you. I'm going Brian. I feel like
House.
That's something that Josh could say, but when it came to the content, I was like, maybe that's Brian House because I feel like he's all about inspiring people, right?
Lock us in, Jeff.
Lock us in.
The answer is Alex Steele.
Oh, shit.
Alex Steele.
I was rooting for you, Brian.
Yeah, I thought throwing Brian in twice was going to be like a red herring.
You have a wrench in your hand. Is that what's making that noise?
You mean the
socket
lock?
Wrench.
No, it's a lock.
Okay.
It's a lock. I'm locking you in. All right, last question.
Are we enjoying this quiz?
Yes, Jeff. Last quote, guys. This is for all the marbles, and I got to tally up who won. All right, here's the quote. I was given them too young, throwing them at trees and busting a few. As I got older, I tried to fix them. I started looking after them and appreciating them. One day, I asked myself a simple question. How do I sharpen a knife? Anyone can put an edge on a knife. But to get a blade so sharp that it can cut super fine slices of sashimi in one stroke is of a blade, how can I do that? Was it A, Mert Tansu, B, Kasumi Kev, C, Brad Leone, or D, Fingal Ferguson?
What was the quote again?
I was given them too young, throwing them at trees and busting a few. As I got older, I tried to fix them and started looking after them and appreciating them. One day, I asked myself a simple question, how do I sharpen a knife? Anyone can put an edge on a knife, but to get a blade so sharp that it can cut super fine slices of sashimi in one stroke of a blade, how can I do that?
I'm going to go.
Mert Tansu, Kasumi Kev. Brad Leone, Fingal Ferguson.
I'm going Kasumi Kev.
Ooh. That was my first thought, but I have a feeling it could be Fingal. So I'm going to go Fingal Ferguson. Lock us in, Jeff.
All right, the answer is Fingal Ferguson.
Wow. Damn it.
All right, so let's see how we did. So Mareko got one. Mareko got one. He got two. He got three.
That's it.
Mareko got three. All right. Now Craig got one, two, three. And the winner of That's What They All Say, Craig Lockwood, 4-3.
Oof. Wow. Oof, oof, oof. I like this game.
Fucking Craig. Craig pulled it out, man. I had such a fun time. What I really was trying to do was finding outrageous quotes and then trying to like match a degree of audacity with the choices. So I kind of wanted some of my choices to be insulted. Like, yeah. I wanted to find something so outrageous that I was just like, I can't believe you would think it was me, but it really could have been me. And now I'm insulted that you think that I'm some sort of, you know, the way I am. It was great. So congratulations, Craig wins the first game of That's What They All Say. But Mareko, you were you couldn't have been much closer. I was nervous that I only did eight, but I got so tired. I was just like, that's enough already. I got to do it. How many goddamn questions? What do you do with tiebreaker? Well, that's going to be the way it is. So there
it's
we
good.
Go.
And I'd like to thank my family, my friends, and yes, we should see you all
I
next
hope people
week.
Played at home. I hope people played at home. I'll do it again. You guys like that game?
Yeah, right. I like it a lot. A million
fucking times. I'm going to ask you every 5 minutes, you still like this game? You still like this game? Like, oh, no, after that last question, I hated it. So here we are.
Look, we can do some listener questions, but first of all, I want to tell our listeners, particularly those in Canada, about MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. It's a great place. They do steel belts, handle material, tools, forges, kilns, and more. They're also a Canadian distributor for combat abrasives. They also sell Rhino Wet and Rhino Stick too. They've got it all at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. They're also on Instagram. They've always got offers, that kind of thing. So go take a look. And apparently, even if you're not in Canada, let's say you're in the States, you can make some good savings thanks to the exchange rates and so on. So yeah, go take a look. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And go follow them on Instagram, too, just to see what they're up to.
I think they're going to be at Blade Show, too, so...
They are, yes,
US,
I did see.
Make sure you're ready to take home some supply.
Lawrence is very, very supportive of makers. He's supportive of podcasts. He's very, very supportive. Yeah. I'm very appreciative.
He's a maker himself, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he's, he's in it. So
Cool. Let's do some listener questions. I'll start with the first. Knives, I think it's Knives by Nuge, N-U-G-E, I think it is. And this was via Instagram, the same as all these questions. People have DM'd us on Instagram at Knife Talk Podcast. And hey, you do the same, we could maybe read out your question one day. Okay. That's such a radio
good.
Thing,
only if
wasn't
you're good.
It?
If you've been good, we'll read your question.
Knives by Nuge. Say someone calls you and state they want to give you the capital, space, and branding support to bump your knife making business to the next level. What kind of questions do you ask them? I mean, what are they wanting from you?
Yeah,
nobody
for sure.
gives you all this shit for free, you know. And there's going to be some sort of financial gain for them. So you need to be quite clear on you know what they're going to expect from you. Both regards, you know, financially and regards to your commitment too. That's a big one. And, you know, we know quite a few makers where this has happened, where, you know, they'll have a sort of a business partner, I suppose, who will invest in them. And it can be great. It can be great. So, you need to find out exactly what they're after and what their goals are and whether they align with yours too, because there'd be nothing worse than, you know, getting into bed with somebody if you find that, you know, you both want completely different things.
Get yourself a lawyer. Business lawyers, probably. In particular. Business lawyer.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong with having a lawyer. But it's way worse to be screwed later.
Well, I would have what I would immediately say is have, it's cart before the horse. Because somebody can offer you money and expectations. But if you don't have a way to make a system in place for growth, then all that money is just going to get flushed, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we had the opportunity to have, Fader Knives, we had an opportunity to have investors come in.
Sure.
And Tony and I basically said, agreed that we just don't want a third person involved right now. We're doing it piecemeal but on our own, and we're developing our business plan and system in place to make it successful, and that's what's happening. The money helps, but if you don't have a game plan, it's really, you're not going to be, just because you make knives doesn't mean you're good at business. And you're going to really want someone who's going to be there for you. Now, if your investor says, we will help you with the business plan, we just need someone in terms of designing the knife, making the knife, we'll help, we'll, you know, having a support system is really probably the number one thing I would want, because otherwise it's going to be years of like making giant mistakes to catch up, and I don't know what the expectations of the investor are, and you know, it's dangling money is great except for if you just don't know how to scale up.
Yeah. But yeah, it sounds as if, you know, you're doing well. Why else would anyone be calling you looking to invest? So, you know, you're obviously doing a good thing. But yeah, just be completely sure that you both know exactly where you would stand and what each other's expectations are. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Because, I mean, it could be something as simple as, like, I want to give you $10,000, but I want a return on my investment in 3 years, you know, or 2 years. Hmm. It's even something simple like that. It's how do you navigate that, you know, and then finding a new space. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, am I going to pay for the labor? Am I going to pay? You kind of need like a good team around you before the money comes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think it's a lot of time wasted.
Okay, who wants to do the next one?
Just real quick, is also below in the show notes are a lot of community showcase. So allocate some time for us to read the listener's showcase.
Okay.
Show.
Yeah,
I got the next one.
Leonardo Lee says, "Hey cuties, I've got a question. I have a huge pile of steel cable, and I've got the I got for the purpose of making cable Damascus." But it's covered in grease and it's galvanized. Have any of you recommendations for how to get rid of those things without having to take a whole bundle apart? The whole bundle apart. Cheers. So those cables, usually, a lot of times I've seen, we've done sculpture with them, they got a little rope inside and then they're covered in grease. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they don't have rope in them. Sometimes they got something else. So what would you do, Mareko?
If I knew that it was covered in, because it's like zinc, isn't it? That grease,
right.
Galvanized. Yeah, I would never have purchased it in the first place. That zinc is like the zinc poisoning that could potentially, when that stuff is burning off in your forge, can really fuck you up. And I've accidentally poisoned myself actually a couple times just in tack welding a few things that were galvanized steel. And that exposure was literally only a few moments. And I was puking and shitting my fucking guts out and had,
whoa,
like,
wow.
I felt like,
whoa.
I had...
At the same time?
I felt like I had it was like the worst hangover I've ever had in my entire life. It was horrible. And so you really want to avoid any kind of galvanized steel. And then honestly, like, without taking the whole rope apart, there's no way to get rid of all of it. And there's no guarantee that it's actually even going to stick.
Well, if muriatic acid eats galvanized, so you could probably, if you had it in small bars and you had a bucket of muriatic acid and just walked away,
maybe
that might.
I mean,
it
also eats the steel too, though. If you were going to try to do that, the muriatic, if it's covered in grease, yeah, there would be such a fucking rigmarole.
Oh, that'd be the resist, right?
Yeah, exactly. But if you wanted to try it, you might be able to weld the ends together, like at the end of the rope, you know, put like a plumber's clamp around it or something like that to hold the strands together, weld it all together, both in, like cut off maybe whatever, an 8-inch chunk, and then untwist it to open it up. Try to clean out the shit in there, maybe soak it in muriatic for a little while to try to get some of that galvanizing layer off, and then you can tighten it back up before putting it back in the forge, and or putting it in the forge and trying to weld that together. But I honestly would not use it. Just don't use
it. It seems like a lot of work before you really get going, doesn't it?
That sounds like a massive pain in the ass and a lot of work for sure before you even start.
What does cable Damascus, what are the characteristics of cable Damascus?
I mean, I think so it's usually like 15 to 20, maybe some sort of, I don't know even what's on the outside. Sometimes there's like a nickel coating on the outside. But I think what made cable Damascus famous and interesting is just that you are taking something and repurposing it. But I don't think it's worth it at the expense of potentially poisoning the shit out of yourself. And honestly, I mean, I've never really been, me personally, drawn to cable Damascus. It's just not very interesting to me.
Can you spot it when you see 100%, it?
100%. Absolutely.
Well, what is it? What are the characters? What does it look like?
It just looks like a bunch of little like ovals and circles and stuff with some bright lines in between. And that could be from decarb, or that could be, like I said, some sort of coating on the outside. You know, maybe it'll stick, but if you're going to try to just weld it with the galvanized stuff on there, like I have some airflow, wear a mask, like, and not just a regular like P100 or whatever, respirator, but one that has filters that can filter out all the chemicals and stuff, that will poison you. That's super important.
Yeah. For I got a fabricating awesome trick with galvanizing. Okay. Galvanized steel is actually awesome. You can galvanized steel, the whole idea is it doesn't rust, right? Mm-hmm. The zinc coating doesn't rust. So if you make something and have it galvanized, or if you're using galvanized, you can use gun bluing on it. And it will do exactly what gun bluing does on everything else, but it's also waterproof. So I made all sorts of sculpture, had it zinc dipped, then it hit it with the wire, then hit it with the gun blue to darken it, and I have permanent outdoor sculpture that's waterproof, weatherproof, and looks like regular steel. It doesn't look like it was painted.
Yeah. Wow.
You can send all your complaints to Jeff Fader after you poison the shit out of yourself.
I mean, I didn't say, I said I made the sculpture, then I had it zinc dipped. I wasn't fucking around with it.
Right, yeah.
Oh, you had the pros do it. I got you.
I had pros zinc dip it. Yeah, I had a... Yeah, never mind.
You know what you could do? That sounds like, that's it. It sounds like a lot of work before you get going anywhere. You could just go to dharmasteel.se and get yourself some real shit. Dharmasteel is beautiful, beautiful stainless Damascus steel. If you have a look at their Instagram, Dharmasteel Lab, you'll see the kind of stuff that people are making with it. Everything from jewelry to knives and so on. Beautiful sort of high-end stuff. Really great dudes there as well. We do a lot of sort of stuff with them. Really nice people. Go out and take a look. Dharmasteel.se. And if you register an account with them and use Knife Talk, I think it's Knife Talk or Knife Talk 10. I think it's just Knife Talk. You'll get 10% off your order with them as well. So go take a look. They've got the most beautiful, beautiful patterns. And people are making some real sort of high-end stuff with it as well. Go take a look.
It's also some really incredible, like, high-performance steel. Like, it's not just pretty.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Ben Coffin.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff. It's Mareko, it's your turn. Sorry.
Ben Coffin asks, why are axes not a category in bladesmithing? They have an edge and a handle.
Good question.
Is there like an official category somewhere? A list?
The edge of an axe, is that technically a blade?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Good question. I don't know the answer.
Well, I'm curious what he means by category in bladesmithing. I mean, I don't know if there's like an official list of what's considered knives or cutting tools, but I feel like, I don't know.
Well, if you just made axes and didn't make anything else, would you consider yourself a bladesmith? An axe maker, right?
Sure.
And when I was talking to Matt Parkinson on Full Blast. He said that back in the day, there was very specific people doing specific things. You didn't have this all-encompassing, I'm a blacksmith and a bladesmith.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You had one guy making hammers, you had one guy making knives, you had one guy making axes, and back in the day, it was everything was very compartmentalized. So it does make sense that blades are knives. You know, it does make sense that, I mean, like, if you just made plowshares, does that mean you're a bladesmith? Or you just made, like, farming sickles, does that mean you're a bladesmith? I mean, there are these, like, weird little technicalities we all say. So it does. It is a good point.
Well, and yeah. I guess, so then if it was, like the family tree of terms, then obviously bladesmithing would be under blacksmithing. But then would axe making be under blacksmithing or bladesmithing, do you think? Like, as a subgenre or subcategory?
I have no idea. I honestly, it was just like a, it was an interesting question. I don't, and I, you know what? And guess who doesn't want to be the judge and jury on this one? Me. I don't give a fuck. You call yourself whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter to me, but it is an interesting point because it's like, you don't normally hear. We also like to term ourselves certain things. I mean, you know, like, is a prostitute also a jerk off artist? I mean, you know, what do we do? I mean, what are we to say?
I've never pondered that one before, Jeff.
You haven't thought about that?
Jerk off artist.
I say just, you know, own it and get the license plate Axeman, and then you're good to go.
Yeah. Axeman's here. Axeman's here.
Perfect. Perfect. Actually, let's just do one question each now. If you look down the list, you guys, and pick one out. I'll take one here.
But we got to do community showcase.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Let's just do one more each and we'll move on.
We have a lot to get to.
We do. We do. I've got one from Eric Hemkler, I think it is. Yeah, Eric Hemkler, again on Instagram. What is your least favorite city?
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy for me.
Detroit.
Really? Why Detroit?
Fuck Detroit. Detroit is the worst. Detroit. Oh God. Blech. The only thing good about Detroit is that Tom Selleck wears a Detroit Tigers hat in Magnum PI. That's it.
You spend a lot of time in Detroit?
No, this is actually a joke because this is a strong opinion because when Eric wrote, Eric is from Detroit. So when he wrote, "What's your least favorite city?" I immediately responded, "Detroit," and he got sad about it. So I figured, you know, let's just keep the bit running. I've been to Detroit once; it's fine.
You could take it or leave it. It sounds like
is that a travel review?
Fine.
I've been there once.
Fine.
It's fine.
Fine. I mean, yeah. I know what. Once again, I don't really feel the need to be the judge and jury of the situation, but that's where we're at. So I guess I'm sticking with Detroit.
Fair enough. I'm going with Berlin. I've had to be there a few times for various different things, and each time it's just, you know, that old sort of thing about, you know, Germans can be quite cold, and they're not, but it's just with their language it sounds quite aggressive, that kind of thing. That's pretty much how it is there in Berlin, and the food is fucking terrible as well. Everything's just boiled and white.
It's, you're not, yeah, gobbling it's down all the verse you can get in your mouth.
I've heard that. Have you had currywurst? I hear that's
yes.
a big thing.
Yeah, it's quite. Yeah, it's quite nice. It is quite nice. But it's. Some, I know some people love it because it's obviously full of the history, you know, of what's gone on. You know, I've done all the sites there and all that kind of thing. But you know, that's depressing as fuck as well. Really, when you think about it. So, yeah, Berlin. It's when it's always on. You know, European cities to travel to. I'd maybe skip that one personally.
Have you ever gone to like an Oktoberfest event?
No, but I have been to Munich round about that time when everything's getting ready for it, and it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing, you know. And it's this whole part of like the Bavarian Germany where they wear the Lederhosen and you know they've got the, you know, the wenches carrying the beer and all that kind of thing. It's still a big thing, but you know it's a big tourist thing now too. You know they take over big cities and they have these huge events. It's not for me.
I had a friend who used to do an Oktoberfest party. We used to go to an Oktoberfest party up in the mountains around here, and we had a blast. Mm. But a friend of mine who's big time goes to Oktoberfest says that it's crazy. Once you get a table, they start bringing liters of beer, and they keep coming around. You better keep getting the liters of beer.
Steins,
otherwise, you have to lose your table.
Yeah.
And they're forcing you to drink.
Oh, that's a good
And people
move.
Get so blasted. People get so blasted that there's like a pile. And if you get so wasted you pass out, they'll grab you and throw you onto the pile of humanity. But like it's like you don't just sit there and you don't sit there and just sip on your beer and chit chat. You're fucking downing liters of beer.
Yeah. And they boiled meats and all that crap coming. Everybody's up dancing on tables and it's a thing. Not for me. Not for me, I'm afraid.
What's your least favorite city, Mareko?
I've been trying to think about that. I don't feel like I've had really terrible experiences in any city. I feel like I feel like there's one that maybe I must have subconsciously blocked out. I feel like there's some terrible memory somewhere, but I can't block it in and figure
like
out.
Like Walcott, Connecticut?
Like Walcott, Connecticut.
That is not a fucking great... That city, you take your life in your hands in that city.
Yeah, I mean...
There's some streetwalkers in that shit that looks like they'll take your car, actually, your hubcaps.
You know what? Maybe that is it. Because, Yeah, I would say Waterbury is where I got in that fucked up car accident. That stupid kid was in the right turn lane, passing a car going straight, and
I knew it would
smashed
come down
right
to traffic.
Into me. Exactly.
I don't think we ever talked about the car accident you had at Waterbury.
I feel like we did. Oh Jesus!
Not on the show.
So.
I don't think we
not
have.
On the show. No. Not on the show.
That was terrible.
It's now Waterbury. When you get to Dragons with Forge, you're driving through some hairy shit.
Yes.
Like there are some moments of like. There, this is like when you're stopping at a stoplight, you push the lock, the locks down on the car, you know.
Lock
it's
us
like,
in, Jeff.
Yeah, you get when you stop
Roll
at the stop
window.
Sign, you're just like you go. You start locking it up because there's some people that gotta take your hubcaps off your car while it's in motion. There's some fucking rough characters in Waterbury.
Well, yeah, and you know there are some. I think a couple nice spots, but especially the route to the shop from the highway is gnarly. It's pretty gnarly.
When I wanted to go to the bathroom before the class started, and I was just like, where am I going to stop to go to the bathroom?
Oh, Christ.
And I was really trying to think hard about what's going to be the cleanest bathroom in Waterbury, and I'm passing by these titty bars and some hot dog places and crab boil places, and I'm just like, and I ended up going to the supermarket
Stop and Shop
because I thought ShopRite.
Oh, ShopRite. Okay.
I went to the ShopRite because I thought it's early in the morning, it's probably already been cleaned and not a lot of people have been in there.
Yeah.
But you even walk into that ShopRite, you're taking your life in your hands over Waterbury, Connecticut. So maybe I might go to Waterbury, Connecticut. It might be the worst city I've been.
Yeah, that's probably one of the worst.
Not Detroit. This Eric's from Detroit. I would say Detroit.
Fair enough. Right, you guys pick a question and we move on quickly.
Yeah. This one's from Geoffrey Bays. He says, hey guys, question. I make a lot of Brute Forge chef kitchen knives, but love the idea and functionality of the S-grind. So I want to see what you guys thought of the idea of forging in the hollows by welding 36-inch radius platens on the top and bottom dies of the press and pressing them in. Thanks for the feedback. Love the show. What do you guys think?
People do that.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Paul did that. He was making fullers for his forged hunting knives, and he just... Boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
Forge them in. Great.
Yeah, you definitely want to take into account the amount or try to anticipate that the material is going to spread widthwise from, you know, from spine to cutting edge because that mass has to go somewhere. But as long as you do that, it should honestly go pretty smooth. Use stop locks for sure. But yeah, that is the trick of wanting to have an S-grind in a brute-to-forge knife is that the S-grind grinds in and removes a lot of that brute-to-forge aesthetic. So maybe another way is to go for a tighter wheel and just have like a little bit of an S-grind, but not a ton. But yeah, I think forging is definitely doable and you just gotta be careful.
If you dialed it in, you'd have the fastest S-grind in the history of S-grinds. You just like a boop, 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 one time, boom, done. No.
Doesn't that sort of, I don't know, when I think of a brute to forge knife, I think it is that way for a purpose, you know, because, you know, it's left almost sort of rough. That feels a bit like, I don't know.
I see.
Go so faster, like stripes on a Datsun, you know?
Like the so like the texture is already kind of creating that that removal or the, kind of like that buffer zone between the food and the surface of the blade.
But it would do that. It'd do that as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just think, I don't know, you're putting something like sort of technical into something that shouldn't be technical. You know, it seems to be a strange sort of mix together for me. But that's, you know, that's just my opinion.
By the way, I did have a Datsun and it had racing stripes on it and it was fucking rad. I loved that little truck.
Nice. Okay. Jeff, any questions?
Victor Gonzalez says, my son is a marine biologist and a master diver and he dives with a knife all the time. Have not seen too many blades meant for underwater use, so what type of steel would be best for underwater use in both salty, crazy corrosive, and freshwater? Love the show. Thanks in advance for your response. Go Yankees. Fucking Yankees are the best record in baseball. Unbelievable. It's like a miracle. I don't know what happened. It's like most New Yorkers who love the Yankees are like kind of, it's shocking to them too. So there you go. What kind of steel would you use for an underwater knife?
It's going to have to be a stainless. I'm sure we had this question like years ago, and we went into quite detail on it. Well, a very similar question, at least, anyway. I don't know. It's going to have to be a stainless. With regards to sort of corrosive properties with salt, I haven't really done any sort of testing that. I don't know. Don't know is the answer. Miracco, any insight?
Titanium. Don't use steel.
Ah.
Whoa.
Titanium. And our friend, Mad Scientist? Fuck, where is he at? Dan Keffler has a friend. I can't find his Instagram. I've met him. I believe his name is Sam. And he does some really, he's been doing some really cool things lately with high-performance stainless. Not stainless, titanium. And he's making, like, these incredible cutters. That are, you know, Dan Keffler, who is like the multi-time world cutting competition like champion, is using and beating the hell out of, and they're getting incredible performance out of it. Let's see if I can look up Dan Keffler. But yeah, that's titanium that they're working with is nuts. What it is, I think it's called. Yeah, I don't know what it's called exactly.
Well, when you figure that out, and
I'll look around.
One of our last guests, Laren Thomas, said that Spyderco is using MagnaCut for their saltwater knives. So maybe MagnaCut. I mean, if Spyderco is using it for saltwater knives, maybe MagnaCut is something to look into.
Yeah,
we're all fans of Laren, and we hope to have him back some point, but. You know, MagnaCut apparently. I mean, if Spyderco is using, I think it was Spyderco. Didn't you say Spyderco? Remember that?
I yes. Can't remember. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure
you can't remember. You got chocolate bunny eggs in your on your keyboard. I can't remember. So there you go.
Okay, cool.
Love that. I forgot all your fucking noises. That is so funny.
Well, Miracle looks that up then, the titanium stuff. Jeff, tell me all about your grinder, and I'll tell everybody how they can get one cheap.
Yo, the Broadbeck Ironworks 2x72 grinder is dynamite. It's made by knife makers, Vince and Ryan. They make a beautiful machine. It's my number one machine. I have three grinders in the shop because two is one and one is none. But my number one is for sure my Broadbeck Ironworks. Go to broadbeckironworks.com. You can check out all their stuff. All their attachments are very intuitive and reasonably priced and work with other chassis. So if you have a Bowman or something like that, they're going to work. I love the Mareko Platin. It's my number one Platin. It's got that deep throat. It's dynamite.
Yeah, boy.
All right, easy there. These are titanium. And then they just sent me the surface grinder. It's awesome. And the contact wheels and everything about it. That adjustable work rest looks dynamite. I still have to get my hands on one of them. And broadbeckironworks.com. What kind of deals do they have coming up on Blade Show there, Craig?
Yeah, they've got a sale going through from June 3rd to June the 12th. You mentioned the surface grinder. It's going to be $100 off that. And they put together these packages. So there's, you know, the super package, if you like. It's got the Morocco Platin, it's got the Tilton 2RS, it's got the slack belt attachment, it's got a belt pack and so on. And there's over a $300 saving in that one. The super mega package, there's $580 saving on that, and that comes with the disc sander and all the other stuff as well. There's just so much. So June 3rd, June the 12th is when they're doing their big sale for Blade Show. If you're looking for a grinder, that's the one to get. Okay. Let's do some.
I got it.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
So
go.
Mad Science Forge. We'll just add him as part of the community showcase. Okay. Go check out Mecca on Instagram. He's Mad Science Forge, all one word, no underscores, periods, or anything. And he talks about all the different titaniums. They have crazy names like TI6AL2SN2ZR. These are all these wild names. But go check out his Instagram. And he's been working with these. I think the one that he's been making swords out of is a titanium alloy called VT23. And he's on his website. He's got a lot of great information, especially on his frequently asked questions about why titanium, what are the properties, blah, 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 blah. Go check out Mecca. MadScienceForge.com, also MadScienceForge on Instagram. He's got the titanium stuff.
There we go. This is our first community showcase.
So community showcase, we did it a while ago where we would nominate or suggest you people to follow, but we decided after Sack Handmade Knives said, you know, something along the lines of, I thought you guys are the biggest, you should do the... We're going to ask you, the listener, to nominate people that we should highlight. So I didn't have to even say anything. You guys listened and immediately put in, and there were no self submitters, which I was saddened
disappointed.
About. We said at the last thing, you know, I scared them off. They were not, no one was prepared for the ball breaking, but, you know, our second community showcase is from, well, look, I figured I'd give it to Sack Handmade Knives. Says to start with, I think Nippenberg Knives should get a shout out, as he's not only a brilliant knife maker, but he's a smart guy with loads of knowledge and is always ready to help others. And he's helped me a lot. So Nippenberg Knives, who listens to the podcast, he knows he submits things all the time. Give him a follow.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's also a member of my Patreon. And he does he's always good about asking questions. He's a great guy.
Do you have to hound him for that rent? Is that what is this automatic? Oh yeah. Good man. Good man, Nippenberg. Always on time. Always that's on the time. Move.
Legacy Blade NC. They've nominated DeSantis _ Knives for the community showcase. Not only does he have some cool, unique designs, but I see him in all the time putting in the effort to go to shows with a good selection of blades. I know from prepping for shows that it's a lot of work, so keep grinding. So yes, that's DeSantis _ Knives.
All right. This next one is from Justin Blauert. He says, if you guys are looking for a maker to showcase, check out Salome Rowe. His Instagram is Rowe Forge Studio. He's a veteran and a new maker that is selfless with his time and shop to others wanting to learn the craft. He's recently gotten a forging press, and his Damascus work is really starting to take off. Enjoy the show, guys. Keep up the great work. That's from Blauert Knives. It's hard to say.
Justin Blauert, yeah.
Blauert.
Dan, go ahead.
I was going to say, should we leave the rest? I mean, we've got loads here. We can just pepper them in through, you know, future shows.
Let's do one more each just to kind of give people a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of it. So Dan O'Brien Knives suggests community showcase nomination / unsolicited advice. Witrer Knives, WITRIK Knives. WITRI Knives. I met Micah at Nick Rossi's class at New England School of Metalwork. He does clean work and incorporates different stones for his bolster material. Micah, you should use marbles in your next knife and call it the Lockwood Wagyu edition. There you go. Dan O'Brien Knives with the jokes. So, there you go.
Barrel Boy Knives has nominated Bold Man Knife and Tool, which I know listens to the show as well. So, yeah, that's, again, on Instagram, Bold Man Knife and Tool. Go take a look at his stuff.
Nice. And this last one is from Johnny Bailey. He would like to suggest Chad Kennedy Knives. Great guy that just made JS last year, does beautiful stuff with a lot of Joe Kiesler inspiration in his handles, which is cool.
Awesome. Let's check that out. So if you want to submit your people that we should be looking at, sometimes some of you guys nominated people who are, you know, big timers. It's like, this is for like highlighting people who, you know, under 2,000 followers is probably the move. It's people who are not getting, who need a little bit more recognition. So
cool. If you leave these in the notes, Jeff, I'll make sure I put these in the notes of the show notes as well. So these people we're talking about, if you look in the show description, you'll be able to go there, follow them, and see what they're working on. Okay. We have listener feedback, I assume.
We do have listener feedback. Listener feedback. This one comes from Celery Patch Knives. Once again, Craig comes through with a great recommendation. Amanda Seafred has always given me a Whitey Bulger. We're halfway through the dropout and thoroughly enjoying it. So,
it's good. Thank you. It's very good.
I still haven't watched it yet. I'm trying to figure out what I've been watching. I go to sleep as soon as I get home. I was working on that fucking quiz for way too long, and then I wanted to watch. What am I looking forward to watching? I don't know. I guess I'm that fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi, but that's about it. I love Ewan McGregor, but that's about it. Minuteman EDC says, so back to peeing on the leather thing a couple episodes ago, which inspired a lot of conversation, is Mrs. Lockwood asked one of our host fill-ins, Ben Snore, about do cowboys pee on leather boots. Back to peeing on leather thing. On a trip to Europe, we stopped in Brussels, where they have a fountain that a child is peeing, dedicated to the kids who would pee on the leather to soften it up. Now it's a tourist thing to go see. Love the show. Thanks for the laughs. I've seen that. It's weird. People love statues of peeing children. They love it.
Yeah, pissing kids.
They fucking love it. I've
never seen have them in their garden and stuff. It's very strange.
Oh, love it. They love it. And any statue with a small penis, the smaller the better. They love the small penis statues. They love it. They love it.
makes you feel good.
Speedster Stove says, pissing on boots is a thing. Footballers used to do it on their new boots. Real football, not American football. There you go. NJ Custom Knives says, I've got some listener feedback for you cuties. I discovered Knife Talk in May of 2019 with the episode with Will Stelter, and I haven't missed an episode since. I've stuck around through the hot takes, listener beefs, Jeff's asshole talk. I still get that goddamn build-along jingle stuck in my head from time to time. I powered through the pandemic with everyone's single tracks and bonus episodes during the hand sanding. I've solicited and benefited from unsolicited advice, especially the Coca-Cola dust, rolling laughing through role plays and dick jokes and Craig's cheeky fingers. And I love how the show never stays static and is always evolving. So with all that, I have two questions. What's your grit progression, and how do I get it even plunge lines? LMAO. just breaking your balls. Keep up the great work. So,
I'm just laughing at clunge line because again.
Oh,
I'm
I see
like
clunge line. I meant plunge line. All right, yeah. Nav says just finished this week's. Felt like Knife Talk times full blast. Neil was awesome. That's when we had Neil Camamore on, and was a great guest. I'm not gonna lie. I felt like every time he mentioned the non-sponsored grinder, Craig was going to kill a cat. and then a couple more. Congratulations, Craig. This one's from Brigham Kendall. Congratulations to Craig. Buddy is a great name. That's how old it is. Jake Norris says, Fingal's always a great replacement for our foreign correspondent, Craig. Mareko's Banff apron is truly badass. You're not so bad yourself, Jeff. Okay. Nice. And then the last, and then I'll read you one more. This one's from Neil Warren. I was going to say, feedback these nuts. But in the name of class, congratulations to Craig and the family on the arrival of Buddy Lockwood. Way to go, Neil, on keeping it classy, you know, by
nice.
Saying D's nuts and then congratulating about the birth of Buddy Lockwood. So there you go, listener feedback.
Cool. Thank you all for your feedback. Thank you very much.
We got if you want to keep going, we got unsolicited advice, so we can just do the after show, whatever you want.
Let's do one unsolicited advice. Pick out a pearl and we shall then go to an after show.
This is an unsolicited advice directed to Mareko. This is from Tom Scott. Oh, wow. Unsolicited advice from Mareko. The knife sharpening guy at my farmer's market has a list, and he sends you a text on Sunday morning reminding you to bring your knives. We go once a fortnight, and I take a different knife each time. That's actually not a bad idea if you want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in doing that.
All right, there you go.
The people that have been bringing me their knives, they're bringing me all of their knives. And so I feel like it would be really unnecessary for me to be texting them.
And may I suggest that that is the correct way to answer unsolicited advice? I'm not taking it. Forget it. Keep it to yourself.
Thank you, and you can take it with you.
There you go.
And on that bombshell, thank you all for listening. Oh, do you know what? We haven't told everybody about the sandpaper we use. It'd be remiss of us not to tell everybody in the show what great sandpaper we use. We all use Rhino-Wet, of course, because it's the best stuff to use, you know, for the job. If you're sanding through steel or even wood, it's the stuff to use. It saves you time, and we all know if it's saving you time, it's saving you money. But we can actually save you more money. So if you go to TexasFarrierSupply.com, they stock all the Rhino-Wet, all the Indasa products, as well as everything else you could possibly need as a knife maker. So go take a look. TexasFarrierSupply.com. Use Knife Talk 10 and you'll get 10% off your order too. Don't be a fool. Go do it.
I pity the fool.
Yeah, I pity the fool that doesn't go to TexasFarrierSupply.com. Okay, on that note, thank you all for listening. We shall speak to you all again next week. Bye for now.
That's the shortest outro in the history of the show. That was like the hurdle of outros.
It was, yeah. Actually, talking about Wordle, we put the TV on this afternoon, and there's like a Wordle game show on in the UK, and it's an exact, like, it's just Wordle on TV.
Oh boy.
Which was crazy. And we were just people like, this is the best thing in the world.
Are people still playing? Because I'm not. Tomer always had me going for a while, and then I was like, I just was too busy to, you know, to do it. And then he started, he was too busy, and then I don't do it. And then my wife does it every so often. I was like, you still doing that game? She does Hurdle every morning, but.
Okay, yeah. Every now and again, when I remember it, I'll do it, but I don't want another thing nagging me. I need to do this every day. I need to do this every day, you know? So, it's one of those things. But yeah, show, where did they? It's just a complete rip-off, you know? I mean, who'd rip off Wordle? What a bastard, eh? But,
yeah, I hope they're getting some royalties or something.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering, whether it's licensed or not. I don't know.
Is it called Wordle?
No, it's what's it called? Lingo, it's called. But it's the same thing. It's five letters. They're even using the same colors, you know, green if it's there. And it was quite blatant. So what's been going on? What are the plans for the weekend?
Oh, God.
Working all weekend, Jeff?
Yes. Ugh. I'm on four weeks in a row of working. I've been every Saturday I'm working on this goddamn sculpture. And actually it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good to the point where I had a few people come in and who are not art people, and they were like, wow. So that was what I was looking for, was, you know, like some type of reaction from someone who's not it's a 9-foot sculpture. And
what is it? What's it sort of, is it representing anything or depicting anything?
I'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when it's up and there are pictures. It's just like, frankly, it's been something I've been not wanting to do for 2 years. So. Mm. And then a deadline came on me, and I made it happen. So it's actually looking pretty good. And the other thing is it's interesting because I've changed my opinion on it to the point where I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to spoon feed anything to the audience, and I want them to come to their own conclusion. So me talking about it puts too much on the sculpture and less on the viewer to make their own decision.
Okay, yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but I have reasoning behind it. I'll tell you about it in the after show when this isn't going. But it's, you know, we're getting there. It's been a total albatross around my neck. But you do what you say you're going to do, and I'm doing it. So
you did an art. Well done.
I'm working on that. And then...
anything fun, Mareko? I know you've got your sharpening thing, but anything fun going on?
Well, we are So I got a couple weeks before we take off at the beginning of June. By the way, I'm not going to be at Blade Show. I keep getting messages from people asking if I'm going to be at Blade Show. And I'm not, because I have so much other stuff going on. And we've been wanting to do this road trip for a long time. The only time we could squeeze it in is during June. And we're leaving like in the middle of what is Blade Show weekend. And we're driving down through Oregon, through the Redwoods, down to San Francisco, and then Monterey Bay, and L.A., and San Diego, then back up to the Sequoias, nice. Then Reno. We're going to hang out with Rick Hall for a few days. Then we'll see Mike Quisenberry for a day, and we got some friends in Central Oregon we're going to go stay with before finally making our way back. So we got like 3 weeks of being on the road, so I got some shit to try to get together and get finished before we hit the road. And we're also looking at possibly trying to build a little like sleeping platform inside the, we have a pickup truck with a canopy, and so that we can sleep inside of the truck when we're camping at some of these spots, because there are lots of bears at some of these forests. And so that's a legitimate concern, especially in the middle of the night. And so I got to work that out. Otherwise, it's just I got this last weekend of sharpening, and then, just get some work done and get it out the fucking door and build something inside the truck so we have a comfortable place to rest at night.
Is it a pickup truck?
Yeah, it's a Chevy pickup truck. It's a Silverado. It's got like a, what is it? I think it's like 5 foot by 7.5 foot bed.
And you have like a cap?
Yeah, it's we have a, did you say cap or cab?
Cap.
We have a
cap on the canopy. Back, on the, over the, like a hard cap on the top of the,
yeah.
Left.
Over the bed. Yeah, it's like, do you not call them canopy?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Anyways, yeah.
Well, potato, potato, you know what I'm saying?
We got a hard top, which is great. And so,
what would you have to build?
Nothing, honestly, nothing too crazy. Just a little platform, basically a flat platform for us to put like a futon mattress or something on. Probably rest it across the top of the wells, and then so support it on either side of the well, and still have room to like store stuff underneath.
Ugh, sounds like a lot of work.
That's fine. I like doing that stuff.
Bear-proof in your truck. You are man.
Yeah, really. You don't worry about them bears. You know?
Yeah.
We're going on a camping trip. But on Wednesday, the kids are off school. They've got some sort of training going on for teachers. So they basically got from Wednesday off until the following Monday. So we've booked, we used to do as a kid when we were younger, these things called like Euro camps. And they're big, I suppose they're just like caravan parks, and they have like a water park there and all that kind of stuff. And as a kid, I remember as a kid, I loved it. And like now, when me and my wife, it just sounds like hell. But this is the kind of thing, you know, the kids will remember. So like we've booked to go for a few days, and I'm just like, oh, all sounds good, you know, water park. Then you don't even remember the whole thing about the French and men at water parks having to wear the budgie smugglers. And I'm just like, oh,
wait,
fuck,
what? What do you mean? But what's wrong with the men from French men in a swimming park?
Well, you know, I'm going to be there with the kids in the water, and I'm going to have to wear these, you know, the banana hammocks.
The Speedo.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, already.
You dreading it.
Dreading it. Absolutely. Why? Dreading it. It's just not a good look on anyone, is it?
It's not a good. Yeah, but if they're not a fan of flossing.
But if they're all wearing it. But if they're all wearing it, I mean, who cares?
I know,
it's like,
but,
you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not good. It's not good.
You don't want
to.
Nothing
to look forward to, should we say.
You don't want to have your tackle all squished in? Is that the problem?
No, I'm going the whole sock route, like you mentioned before. Got the sock down there. It's the only way.
Dude,
the only way.
I have a pair of swim. I got some Speedos, but they're not like banana hammocks. They're like bike shorts.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, what if I showed up with like a real banana, like Robert Plant style, like you know, the dick, you know, the real, you know, just talk. I just started talking. Yeah, you know, blah 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 blah.
That you told this, to like, swim class. I don't think that's appropriate, Jeff.
Fucking Christ. No,
but I mean, not an erection. I'm just saying, like, you know, like
just the hanger,
the silhouette, you know, the caricature of, you know, the grotesqueness. So
And you wonder why she wants to go to college elsewhere. Jesus.
I thought about it. I mean, I probably should have kept it to myself, but I didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it.
Good.
Thought about it.
Did you swim this week?
No, they canceled it, but I threatened the athletic director of the school.
As you do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love this guy. This guy is such a great – he's so good. He came in before pandemic, and the guy before him was great, and the guy left in the middle. And this new guy, the new athletic director, he came in with the behind the eight ball, and he's been fantastic, and we've been very friendly with him. But they do this thing where the faculty swim against the varsity team. So I'm talking to my kid, and she's like, I got to swim against the AD because he talks a lot of stuff. And I found so it turns out that the faculty team does this bullshit swimming and against the swimmers, and it's like hands behind their back, and this is a bullshit. So I said, don't you worry. When I see the athletic director, I'm going to demand that he swim against you in a, 50 meters. You can't do this halfway bullshit. So my wife and I are walking the dogs. I said, there's the athletic director. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And my wife is going like, oh, no, don't say anything. I'm like, don't worry, Hill. Don't worry. I got this under control. And she's like, no, you're going to say something terrible. I'm like, no. So he comes up, and she's just like, put her head in her hands. And I was like, I got a bone to pick with you. And she's like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I just had it out with him. And then I put him on the spot. He's just like, well, you want me to swim against your kid? I'm like, yeah, that's what's going to happen. I'm swimming against your kid. That's all I ask. I've been a good parent for a long time, and all I'm asking. And he was just like, I said, I hear you faculty do a lot of chirping, and I wanted to make sure that this is a fair swimming. So it was very funny, but that's the answer. Is I'm like, turning into a maniac, turning. So that's that. And then I don't know what the fuck. I'm just so tired. So tired.
Yeah. It's come to the point where I'm having to take a nap before doing the podcast. That's how old I felt.
Oh
today.
My! Listen to you in the hammock. Wearing your hammock, wearing the banana hammock.
Don't talk about the hammock. It's been so hot here. We've been having thunderstorms in the night, and it rains a lot. So that means the grass everywhere is just like it's like perfect conditions to grow. Fucking crazy every day. So I got to, because we're leaving on Wednesday for a few days to go on this trip. I got to try and sort out everything before then, and it's a lot. Hate it. But hey, gotta be done. Gotta keep those snakes away, you see.
Yeah, you're coming back to a jungle.
Any shows to suggest? The listeners love show suggestions.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've just finished, and we've been watching it for months and months, but like really sort of on and off, not really that much into it, but it's been really good, is Money Heist on Netflix. And I think it was a Spanish show, which is dubbed.
Yeah.
But it's really, good production value. It's really, really good.
What is it about?
They're basically bank robbers, I suppose. So it's a bit like, remember, like Prison Break.
Hmm.
It's very similar to that, because most of the time they rob the bank, then they need to try and get out again, but it's really good. It's really, really good, actually. And we finally watched the finale a couple of days ago, and we're just like, gutted is finished now, because I said we've been watching it for months, not religiously, just sort of on and off, but now it's finished. It's like, it's come to an end kind of thing. So yeah, Money Heist is really, really good.
I hear Iron Chef's coming back.
Oh yeah, that's on Netflix.
Iron Chef's coming back, and I hear, have you guys heard this show, watched this show, Is It Cake?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Supposed to be, have you seen it? Yeah.
I've seen the clips, yeah.
Apparently it's great.
I mean, once you've seen,
no interest.
I can't see how it's got legs. Maybe watch one episode. I can't see how you can.
I understand, they're canceling shows left and right over Netflix. I think they're drying the pine, don't they? I think the golden age of Netflix is almost coming to an end.
I don't know. I have a feeling that's just like the media doing that because people are spending their money on Netflix and not them.
I got a friend who said that they were green lighting everything and now they're holding back everything. So
don't know, but hey, we've always got the Johnny Depp trial to watch anyway. Clips of that. If there's nothing on TV to watch,
is that almost over?
I don't know.
What's going on?
But they were up this week, weren't they? They were both up, actually, on the stand, talking. And, yeah, she's a hell of an actress. That's all I can say. Her face has changed, like, within, like, a millisecond from happy to sad when she remembers, you know, I need to be portraying this mood at the moment. It's quite interesting to watch.
How much do you think the lawyers are raking in? Because it's got to be just, like, it's just millions, right?
Yeah, got to be. Yeah. But I just love how Johnny Depp doesn't give a fuck in it, you know? When you can see him, he's just bored. And he's like, well, this isn't about me, you know? You know, it's not. He's not on sort of trial as such anymore. So he just doesn't give a fuck. And they're both mental, let's face it. They're both to blame. They're both as crazy as each
other. What's the quote he said about being weird?
Oh, yes, we had that earlier, didn't we? Yeah.
He said, what did he say? Who the fuck cares? You know? Johnny, I don't know. I don't
know. Megapint.
What?
The Megapint thing. That's the one that keeps coming up in my feed. You know, the clips that everybody shares all the time of the bits of the trial. The bit about the Megapint of wine. And he goes, a Megapint? And laughs. It's just very funny.
The whole thing is... It's all very bizarre. And it's... Yeah. It's... What our appetites are for are we want some. I think you know why people probably like it is because they're actually, instead of being acting, there's actual real stakes. There is a real loser, you know, and there's a real loser in this. And so far, it looks like Amber Heard. I think that they threw her off of Aquaman. I don't think she's doing that anymore. I think this whole thing is kind of poisoned that. And then
really, oh wow,
she's shitting in beds, and everyone's saying she, you know, call her an Amber Turd, and it's just like. You know, it's just so gross. I mean, the whole thing is that she's really like...
Yeah, it is just crazy seeing these things sort of play out. And like, back in the UK now, there's this thing where there's two... do you get wags over there, footballers' wives, who no. become a celebrity in their own right just because their partner is, you know, a famous footballer? But there's these two footballers' wives that have sort of, you know, been bitching about each other in the press, and they're taking each other to court, and it's on like primetime news and stuff, and it's just like nobody gives a fuck. But then you're watching it, and it's like you hear a little tidbit, and you're like, "Oh shit, I'm into this," and you hate yourself for it because you get into this whole celebrity culture, and it's just they got hooks, haven't they? That, you know, the news, they put these hooks in, and just like, I gotta listen to this now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there you go.
It is now 20 to midnight here in France. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. We should be back next week with more of Jeff's great new game show.
Maybe not.
What was the title, Jeff? We need a good strong title. What was it?
That's what they all say.
That's what they all say. Perfect. Right. Thank you all for listening. We shall speak to you all again next week. Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.